Rudy Giuliani brought the circus to Lansing last week and left with a COVID-19 diagnosis just a couple of days later. It's not clear if President Trump's attorney got COVID before he was in Michigan or contracted the virus while he was here. The result has been the Michigan State House canceling session as several members were exposed to Giuliani. Here to talk about the outbreak at the Capitol is Chad Livengood, senior editor with Crane's Detroit Business. Chad, welcome back to Stateside.
Thanks for having me, April.
Legislative leaders have been reticent to give COVID positive numbers among their lawmakers, but we did get a few more details. What more do we know about how much COVID is spreading among our elected officials because of meetings at the state capitol?
So yesterday, after some pressure from reporters, the House disclosed that there have been 8 representatives to date who have tested positive for COVID-19 and 21 staff members. Now, that is cumulative over a 9-month period, and that does not include Representative Isaac Robinson, the late Representative Isaac Robinson, who passed away in late March of a suspected case of COVID-19 after he went to the hospital and just died 5 hours later. So we don't know the current extent of COVID-19 within the ranks of the legislature and the staff, but Mayor Giuliani's appearance last week at the House Oversight Committee, where he lodged all these really baseless conspiracies about the election, and then testing, and then him ending up in a hospital 4 days later, really kind of put a really fine point on this. The legislature in general has very, very lax controls on COVID-19 as an institution and as an employer. They do require their employees, the staff members, there's 300 or 400 of them between both chambers, to wear masks during the day and to follow a lot of the COVID safety protocols that the rest of us have to do in workplaces. But they're not requiring the 148 members who are elected under a kind of stretch of an argument where they say, look, we can't require anything of any individual member. We can't interfere in their ability to vote, essentially. And so we can't just require them to wear a mask as a condition to get on the floor of the House in order to hit the green or red button at their desk. And so they have, particularly in the House, been very lax about this. And you've seen this on the floor where there are half the Republican caucus is without masks. The entire Democratic caucus is masked up. And then in committee, in the Giuliani committee hearing last week, there were 5 Republican House members who didn't wear masks for most of the entire committee. Giuliani didn't wear a mask. President Trump's campaign attorney, Jenna Ellis, she did not wear a mask. She has since tested positive as well for COVID-19. And there was one Democratic representative, Cynthia Johnson of Detroit, who also was without a mask. And so as a result of that, you had the Ingham County Health Department director kind of come out and try to order those members to quarantine, which was kind of, she eventually sort of backed away from that because of this sort of separation of powers.
Chad, do you know if that stuck? Did any members follow quarantine orders?
We're not sure if they are or not. But, House Speaker Lee Chatfield came out and said, you can't order individual members of the legislature to quarantine. And he pushed back on that. So sort of separate of the Giuliani exposure that caused Tuesday's session to be canceled, a top House Republican staffer tested positive for COVID on Tuesday. And because this staffer had been in contact with multiple reps separate from the oversight committee, they canceled a session for the rest of this week. And I wrote a piece about how this is really essentially paralyzing the legislature, that every time there is a COVID outbreak, they got to shut down session. And here we are in the lame duck session. There's 6 days remaining to do the business of the people, to consider major issues like extending unemployment insurance, giving aid to small businesses, a whole host of criminal justice reforms that if they don't pass, they will die. The bills, and they have to, have to start over in January. And the legislature is quite literally the last institution and workplace where they could be working remotely, like the rest of the white collar workforce of Michigan, but they're not.
I'm still trying to get my head around this. There was a workplace complaint filed against House leadership for holding crowded committee hearings in person and not requiring masks. Again, this is a state OSHA complaint filed against state elected officials. Can you tell us more about the complaint?
Yes, a staff member in the legislature anonymously complained that this is a hazard on the workplace. Just like if you were exposing people to other types of hazards in a workplace, this person contends that they're in danger at the workplace with these maskless members and audience members. There were numerous audience members at the Giuliani hearing without masks, and you don't know, you know, if they've got COVID or not. There's no real basic health screenings, and even if there is, you know, asymptomatic carriers or the way this virus continues to ravage through our society. And so so this is a real interesting standoff. I'm not sure how far it's going to go, to be honest, but you have an arm of the Whitmer administration that is investigating the legislature, separate branch of government, to see if they are in compliance of the Whitmer administration's rules on COVID. And the legislature has to date not done anything to pass its own rules on COVID in the workplace. They haven't passed a single major bill or sent one to the governor's office quite yet in 9 months. And now the governor is using existing power that is being enforced on other employers, you know, whether it's white collar or blue collar jobs, to ensure that that employers you know, mitigate risks to spreading the virus, and by doing all these basic simple things like social distancing and mask wearing on the job.
Is there any reason to think that Speaker Chatfield and Senate Majority Leader Shirky are going to change course on any of this? I mean, this is now about as full blown a public health emergency as we've seen so far.
They have not shown any change, of course, to date, and they only have canceled session. I should probably note this when Republicans get sick. Senate Minority Leader Jim Mayenich contracted COVID in early November, and they didn't cancel Senate session for the days after the election. He was just absent. I mean, he got an excuse absence. But there's someone in the top leadership of the legislature who they didn't even cancel session for him. But this has happened before, back in August, when Senator Tom Barrett of Eaton County got COVID. They canceled session for a week and a half and ended up having to hold a session day on a Saturday in order to get critical legislation passed that the schools of Michigan needed in order to reopen at the end of August. And that one shutdown is kind of a good example of how that delayed decision making among 500 school districts on their reopening plans because the legislature couldn't be in session. And just another example, the Senate is expected to pass, maybe as soon as today, a bill that would that seeks to rein in the governor's health department's epidemic orders that are now the law of the land for these you know, closures and mask mandates by basically requiring them to get renewal from the legislature for 28 days. And the governor is likely to veto this bill. The irony here is that if they did get this on the books, and then they had another one of these shutdowns where they couldn't operate, they couldn't actually come in and authorize the 28-day extension because the legislature still has not adopted any kind of means or platform for voting remotely.
All of this is making my head spin. Chad, I just have one more question. And it's about the lawsuit that the state of Texas filed against Michigan, along with Georgia and Wisconsin and Pennsylvania, all four states, to overturn our election results. It looks like the Trump campaign has submitted this to the Supreme Court for consideration, although it's not clear whether or not the high court will take it up. Have you heard anything more about this?
Senate Majority Leader Mike Shirky put out some tweets yesterday, sort of strongly encouraging this lawsuit to go forward. This is unlike anything I've ever seen, where you have another attorney general in another state trying to overturn the election results of another election. That's totally unfathomable. But this is 2020, and I guess all bets are off at this point.
That was Chad Livengood, senior editor with Crain's Detroit Business.